Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the market update. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. At which time, if you do wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, 11th of June 2019. I'd now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, to Mr. Matt Bekier. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Kevin. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm joined here today by Harry and Chad. We're going to take you through the trading update that we put up on the ASX this morning. If I can just start by putting a little bit of color on the three topics that we're discussing, the first one being trading, the second one the organization changes and cost reduction, and the third one is our CapEx program, the progress on our CapEx program. Starting with trading, we announced today that we expect the full year to come in on a normalized basis between $550 and $560 million. That's down from an equivalent of $568 the year before. What's driving that is, let me talk you through that. So on VIP, you recall that in the first half, we were down about 30% in the first half. That was on the back of some macro softness as well as a very strong win rate. That sort of softness in the VIP business has continued into the second half at about the same rate. Now while revenues of 30% down is obviously disappointing, let me give you a little bit more color. On one hand, we're seeing very strong growth, continued strong growth of our premium mass business. That is a very positive development. It's one that we've been encouraging and stimulating, and that's obviously reducing the average bet size. You know, if you look at the average bet size year on year, the average bet in the VIP business is down about 25%. So obviously the mixed change towards premium mass is one aspect of that. The other aspect is there's clearly a lack of confidence in the market. We've seen reasonable visitation from very large players, but when they show up with large volume, with large front money, they don't play at the same level that they've played at before. And that, I think, is just speaking to the global macro nervousness that is in the market today. In the domestic business, we had a very strong first half, I think. That's fair to describe that, with growth of over 5%, 5.7% from memory in the first half. That has moderated to growth of 0.3% for the second half. What the reality here is, I think the macro is catching up with us. If we look at the developments through the second half, January was the strongest month in the year, with a very strong January. That growth had moderated in February. March, April were soft, but it was an unfortunate calendar with Easter and everything else. We also had poor win rates in the private gaming rooms. And you see that, for example, we show that on the table games. We say that table games in the PGRs are essentially flat, but if you normalize the sovereign room for the win rate, we would have been up by 9.6%. So the volume's there, but we just weren't that lucky. The impact of that loan was about $14 million in March and April. But, you know, the positive is the customers are still coming, the visitation is showing up. They just don't spend as much as they have in the past. That means we have to keep the tables open. It positions us well for when the confidence returns, but in the meantime, there's obviously pressure on our financial performance. I should say that a lot of other things in this result, while the top line isn't great, give us confidence that we're on the right path. We continue to take market share in critical categories, particularly the domestic business. We're doing okay in slots, although Sydney had a little bit of a bump the last couple of months. Our private gaming rooms are growing faster than the mass market. Our loyalty and our rated customers are growing substantially faster than the unrated base. So that says we are on the right journey with the investments that we've made. I should also say, you know, validates our philosophical belief that we need to drive this company more through, you know, functional areas that have real deep capability. You may recall that we've done that in the past with gaming, and we're seeing good margin expansion and good innovation in that space. We've done it with marketing. We're now going the final step and are taking hospitality into a functional structure as well. And that gives us the opportunity to then restructure the properties on a consistent basis and release some fixed cost. We had always planned to do that in a more gradual way over the coming year, but in light of the softening macro environment, we've decided to bring this forward. So the second point in the announcement is a cost reduction of $40 to $50 million. That is all labor cost and direct labor-related cost. It's all salaried on 95% salaried staff, and the work here has progressed well. I expect that over the next month to 6 weeks, the bulk of the activity will happen. Certainly by the first quarter, the savings will be largely implemented. That means that three quarters of this cost will be hitting the P&L as a benefit next year. So I don't want to give you a sense that we're changing our view in the long-term and medium-term outlook for the company. All we're doing now is moving into a different structure that allows us to scale up much more efficiently when the upturn comes and customer confidence returns. It also allows us to now address the fixed cost base. As a final point on the expenses, year-to-date, our expense growth is less than 1%. So we've done a good job at responding with tactical measures to the slowing market, but there's only so much you can do with the variable costs and the deferrals and rostering. We are now, you know, in a position where we need to move on the fixed costs, and that's what we're doing. But as I said, it will give us the operating leverage for next year. Then the final topic is CapEx, and that's all good news. So in Queensland, in Queens Wharf, which is the biggest development, we have negotiated a large contract with Multiplex that is now just waiting for government approval. Final sign-off is a couple of weeks away. Once that's done, some 60% of our total cost at Queens Wharf will be either completed or locked away as a fixed cost. So that de-risks the property, the development quite substantially, particularly as, you know, we're now in the early stages of tendering the residual packages in the finishing trades, and we're tendering those into a softening construction market, which positions us well for finishing the project on budget and on time. Gold Coast is going well. The additional tower with the Dorset Hotel is progressing well. And in Sydney, I'm pleased to report and invite you to visit the property now that the Porker Share and the disruptive work around the main entry have been completed. The project and the work around the sovereign room is progressing well as well, and we are now behind over all the stage that has led to all of the disruption and the noise that did have some impact on our property in particularly March and April. So again, this positions us well for next year when none of these factors will apply. That finishes my introductory remarks. I'm now happy to take any questions you might have.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, press the pound or hash key. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's star 1 to ask a telephone question, but our next telephone question is from Matt Ryan from UBS. Please ask your question.
Oh, hi, Matt. Just honing in a little bit on the cost reduction program. The number, I guess, just seems quite big at first glance. Just hoping you could dig into, you know, whereabouts that's coming from. I understand that it's non-customer facing.
That's right.
So can you sort of just dig into what these people were doing previously? And I think you said something about not impacting revenue at all through this. If you could just talk to that as well.
Yeah, so the cost saving is very much focused on salaried corporate staff. And what we've done over the last few months is, you know, we've basically modeled out what a pure functional structure looks like that allows us to take out all of the duplication across the properties in the residual functions that we haven't centralized yet. You know that we've sort of, you know, historically, most of the casinos have been running as standalone enterprises with a certain level of duplication. Over the last few years, we've been centralizing more and more functions to build up the capability. Now it's time to, you know, take the final step and remove all of the duplication across all of the functions. So that means, you know, we will get releases out of IT, hospitality, HR, but then also support functions like finance. It's virtually every function will be affected.
So how many people or how many FTEs have you actually got in non-customer facing roles?
We have a we have a salary pool of about, just looking at the team here, I want to say about 2,000. Yeah, about 2,000 staff.
All non-customer facing?
To some extent, yes. I mean, you know, at the very senior level of gaming supervisors, for example, it's a bit debatable, but they're essentially down to middle management.
Okay, this is removing probably 15 to 20%.
That's right.
Okay, thank you. And then just, I guess, thinking about underlying cost inflation of the business moving forward. So I know that that's obviously a little bit volume dependent, but if we just think about the 40 to 50 and taking that out, what would you assume that we should be thinking about for cost inflation next year?
Look, we've discussed this in the past. You're quite right. It's largely volume dependent. 60%, 65% of our cost base is labor. The non-salaried staff goes up by about 3% year on year. Then there's CPI growth. In the past, we've been always pretty good at offsetting a big chunk of that, as we have been this year, I should say. Beyond that, it's really just the volume growth that should sneak in.
Okay, thanks. And just a quick one on, there seems to be the turns and the win rate seem to be moving in strange directions. Could you just sort of, I guess, dig into that a little bit?
Yeah. So in the first half, we had low turns and a very strong win rate. And, you know, we were able to sort of, I think, justify that or explain that by saying a big chunk of that has to do with the fact that we just tap, you know, clean up the customers too quickly, the VIPs too quickly. Now, in the second half, the win rate was softer. I should say year-to-date was still ahead of normalized. It's, you know, we can't explain it with the win rate. This is really just the fact that confidence is gone. You know, customers that, I look at a couple of very large customers that we had last year as well as this year. They show up with the same amount of front money, but it's, instead of spending a week here, they spend 2 days or 3 days here, and they just don't turn the money. I think that's confidence. That's just the macro confidence.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's star one to ask a telephone question. Our next question is from Mark Wilson from Deutsche Bank. Please ask your question.
Thanks very much, Matt. Just looking at domestic trading, you mentioned, you know, January was your strongest month of the year to date. Feb's off, and just what was the rate of that trajectory of the slowdown, March, April, May?
I hope it's, Mark, seeing out the numbers for you, but not as meaningful as you would think because of the timing of Easter and Lunar New Year and so on. But I tell you, I can tell you that if we looked at the underlying volume, February was still okay, then March, April were not good. March, April, we went into a bit of a hole. In May, we recovered a little bit, but not as much as we had expected. And, you know, things like the win rate, you know, May was okay, but we didn't make up the 40 million that we are behind because of March, April.
Right, okay. And I imagine elections may have weighed on sentiment through that period, New South Wales and federal. Just wondering if you have seen a little bit of a pickup on the domestic side post the election?
A little bit, but not as much as expected.
Right.
A tiny little bit, but not as much as expected.
And then so for the rest of June, do you've just assumed continuation of what you've seen over the last couple of months, do you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much, Matt.
Thank you.
Our next telephone question is from David Fabris from Macquarie. Please ask your question, David.
Oh, hi, Matt. Hi, Chad. Look, I just wanted to focus on the cost out program, and I'm trying to understand how to think about it. In the FY17 result, you guys provided a slide talking about the success of your operating efficiency program. This suggested that you guys have removed around $100 million of costs in FY16 and 17. It doesn't look like you guys provided an update in FY18, but I assume the run rate's the same, so let's call it $150 million cost out. But if we look at EBITDA since FY16, it hasn't really changed based on guidance today, but we've continued to see sort of revenue growth. So I don't really understand the cost out over that time. So if you can make some comments there, that'd be great. And then as a follow-up to that question, with the program announced today, is this over and above that usual program? And how should we think about cost management initiatives into FY20?
Yeah, so thanks, David. I think the point is, you're pointing out right, yes, over the last few years we've continued to take cost out within the business and be more efficient as a business generally. What you're also seeing over that period of time is table games volumes have risen quite significantly. So, you know, in this period what we're saying is you're seeing average bet sizes down, so revenue per table is down given the lower average bets. So what we're actually doing at the moment is we're trying to keep table open hours open as much as we can to try and keep the business and the property full and running and operating, but you can't offset that just totally through cost efficiency alone. So therefore, you know, we're making those additional adjustments into our base costs of the business rather than just efficiencies. We're trying to take out a management layer across the business in FY20 that will come through the $40 to $50 million. But you know, I think in the last 3 years we've effectively been able to offset a lot of the increase in inflationary costs in our business through our cost program that we've had in place.
Yeah, okay. And just trying to understand, you know, obviously we're in a challenging macro position right now, but if we do see an improvement, how much of these cost out of the cost out program comes back in as you scale back up again?
Only volume related, David. So from our point of view, this is now addressing real fixed costs, right? And as we go to the fixed cost, you shouldn't expect a bump in the fixed cost base. It should only be volume related activities that come back.
Yeah, okay. And one last question. I'm harping on the cost here, but I mean, we've always spoken about how quickly you could rip costs out of the business, and you know, this is the velocity of the cost out program, and the timing has come as sort of a surprise. But you know, obviously we're in the challenging period. But I mean, how long have you guys been looking at this, and how come it's not something you've been looking at previously if you've been so focused on costs?
Well, as I said, you know, our cost year to date is up less than 1%, and as I said earlier on, visitation is up, non-gaming is up, table game volumes are up. So we have real cost drivers to drive activity into the business. You know, there's inflation, there's EBAs. We've absorbed all of that, and we're showing less than 1 percentage point growth at this point. So I think you need to give me a little bit of credit here for the work that the team has done to keep the cost under control. But to get to a point, and for us, May was the testing point. We expected in May the volumes to come back, and we were going to move, you know, as part of the plans for next year, we were going to move to this more centralized structure in a more gradual way. Now that, you know, the numbers are not coming back in May, and as I said, June looks a lot more like May than a turnaround, just to say, well, make sure the macro next year is going to be challenging, and we need to create, you know, cut into the fixed cost base to establish that foundation.
Okay, appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Larry Gangler from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question, Larry.
Hey, guys. A couple of questions. Just continuing on the cost-saving program, Matt. With regards to sort of some of the concerns or risks that your staff have had as you worked with them to, you know, develop this cost reduction program, can you sort of discuss some of those? Obviously, staff would complain, but maybe there are some more acute concerns that we should be looking at for as analysts.
I'm not sure, Larry, I'm not sure I understand the question. What are you after?
Well, what I'm after is obviously taking out a layer or layers of management are going to increase burdens on other staff or might even free up their sort of maneuverability to do their job. So you would have heard that feedback, and I'm just wondering if you can relate some of that specific feedback to us so that we as analysts can look out for, what are those impotences to banking those cost savings?
Yeah, so in terms of the status of the cost-saving program, we've made very good progress. And, you know, we have essentially individual positions identified at this point. And you know, we are, you know, days, not weeks or months away from implementing those. And if I sound a little bit vague on the precise timing is, I just don't want to, you know, give you more detail than we've given staff today. So, but as soon as the staff have been informed of who's going, what's going, what's being consolidated, you know, we will let you know. In terms of the way I would like you to think about this is to say, you know, in the olden days, you had three gaming departments in Sydney, Gold Coast, and Brisbane. We then created the Center of Excellence. We now have one person making decision on procuring machines. We haven't gone through each one, all of the properties in detail and said, so what are now the excess functions that we can remove? How can we further simplify the decision making? How can we, you know, we back the one person to make the purchase decisions for the machines and the machine settings. You know, we can remove a whole bunch of other people. That was scheduled to be, you know, gradual. We're going to work our way through the organization next year. We're now bringing all of that forward. We've crunched that over the last couple of months with increasing urgency as May started to look less and less promising. And, you know, we are now in a position to do that. And if it makes sense in gaming, it makes sense in hospitality, it makes sense in F&B, it makes sense in all of the support functions.
Okay, so it's really coming down to obviously one central department and making decisions for all three sites. And has there been any sort of, you know, negative feedback about this? What are the issues that arose that you had to overcome?
Look, the biggest feedback that we are getting is pointing to the fact that it has been very common, and most casinos run as separate integrated businesses, and we're moving away from that, and we're running it as a more what I think is a more contemporary consumer-facing business where we make central decisions and then let the properties operate and implement those decisions. But we don't need the property to rethink and second-guess those decisions. What that means is, you know, we're not envisaging a master-servant relationship, but it moves us into a matrix relationship where the property needs to feedback customer responses, and so on. But, you know, I look at there is, you know, with gaming, we've been flying in this formation now for some 6 months, and I'm very happy with the progress that we're making there. We are a lot more professional, fact-based, data-driven than we've ever been, and we have visibility over the impact of those decisions on our P&L.
Okay, I got that. And I just want to ask a separate question on market share. It looks like you're holding market share gaining market share in Queensland, but losing in Sydney. How do you sort of contrast that performance?
Look, Sydney, we had a very strong first half. January was very strong. It's the last 3 months where we've gone off the boil. Two things, the main gaming floor was a little bit disrupted because of the work above, and we had to take, you know, banks out for times that we hadn't actually anticipated that would have to respond like that to the disruption. But then there's also been a little bit of softness sneaking into the private gaming rooms. So the private gaming rooms for us are obviously a very important driver of slots market share. And
we've suffered there a little bit. And it's the same pattern that I described earlier on. The customer continues to come, but they're not betting at the same level that they've bet in the first half.
Okay, that's interesting. All right, excellent, thanks.
There's no more further questions at this time. I'd like to hand the call back to the speakers for any continued remarks. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your time today. And I realize that this announcement at the top line will have been a disappointment to many of you, but I hope that the discussion has given you a bit of confidence that there are some really positive signs in here and that management is responding as quickly as we can to the changing environment. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the call for today. Thank you for all participating. You may all disconnect.